Why don't you turn to a couple passages with me and begin with the first one in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We just want to look at a couple of scriptures as a way of invitation to be offered to anyone who need to respond to the gospel. John 21, the last verse. And there are many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the whole world would not have room for the books that would have been written. John, in his gospel, we think of four gospels. Why four? And each of the gospels have a theme and a reason and a meaning. John's seems to be that his responsibility is to show and to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the deity of Christ. And in showing that he is God's Son, without which no one could have remission, forgiveness of sin, or salvation, John says, as he closes out his book, you don't even begin to have the half of it, the third of it, the eighth of it. He said there were so many other things written that could have been written that weren't, that could have been but weren't. That in his mind, I suppose the world itself couldn't contain the books. I got a question. Do you believe that? Because this is what it all comes down to in Christianity. We talk about faith all the time, but what it really comes down to is our faith, the believing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus really performed that many things? Do you believe that Jesus really did that many miracles? Did you believe that Jesus really did all those things that he talks about here as we're seeing? Look with me in John chapter 20. One chapter back. We sang tonight about Thomas's song. Thomas, the first time the Lord appeared when they were in the upper room and the locked doors, and he appeared before them, and they told Thomas wasn't there. And so they told Thomas, and then a week later, Thomas was there. But Thomas had said, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my hand in his side, unless I can see the nail prints. And so a week later, the Lord, 8 days later, as the scripture says in verse 26 of John chapter 20, 8 days later, the disciples were together in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and examine my hands and extend your hand and put it in my side. And do not continue in your unbelief, but believe." And Thomas replied to him, "My Lord and my God." When I really decided to study scripture, to learn it, to know it, one thing I tried to do, and this is just me because my mind's pretty simple, is to put myself in the position of the people I was reading about. And I believe that's the way God has revealed scripture for us, so that we can learn from these people. And I think about, had I been in Thomas's place, I might have been just like him. And many of us may have been just like him. But 8 days later, can you imagine? The Lord you watched crucified and died. Can you imagine being able to touch him and put your hand in his side? Thomas, my Lord, my God, it's you. But Jesus says something that we need to think of. Listen to what he says. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those people," or those who have believed and have not seen, yet believe. Thomas, it took you reaching into my hands and my side for you to believe. But John says There are many other things that are recorded we don't have, but this we do have. And here's the key to this. Watch what he says on down through here. In verse 30, "Now Jesus performed many miracles and the signs in presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book." Exactly what John had said later in the chapter. There's many others. This one is, but many others aren't. But look at verse 31. "But these things are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Listen to what He said. This is recorded for you. Thomas' record is recorded for you, for me, for all of us, for whoever will read it. But there's many other miracles that aren't recorded. But this one has been recorded, and the ones who have been recorded for a purpose. And the purpose is right here. These are recorded so that you may believe. That's the reason we have Scripture. That's the reason we have the Word of God revealed to us. So that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Proof by Romans 1 verse 4, raised from the dead, that He be the Son of God. Because no one's ever been raised from the dead, never to die again. Jesus raised some people from the dead, but never had anyone raised from the dead, never to die again. These things that are written for a purpose and a reason. So that we may believe. And believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in His name. We can't have salvation without believing this. So my question again to all of us, do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Let's look at one more scripture. In Luke chapter 24, the story we're very familiar, some should be very familiar with, and J.R. even talked about it some in one of his lessons. The disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they were leaving Jerusalem. Of course, this is after Jesus was crucified and had died. And we find out in the text later, this is the third day of it. And on the road to Emmaus, and they're walking along. And as they're walking along, talking about the Lord appears to them. And you can go back, if you want to start reading about verse 13 or so, we won't take the time to do that. But you read that, and you see this account of these two disciples on the way down and on the road to Emmaus. And as they're walking along, the Lord comes to them, appears to them. And He kind of asked them, you know, He says, hey, why are you so sad? What's going on? And they look at verse 17, He says, you know, and He looks and says, oh, what are these matters you're discussing, this translation says, so intently, as you walk along? And they stood still looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here these days? And he said to them, what things? The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, a man powerful in deeds and words, proved to be a prophet before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers handed him over and condemned him to death, crucified him. And we had hope. Look at this, verse 21. But we had hoped. I got a question for you. Do you have hope? Or did you had hope? Do you believe? Or did you used to believe? What tripped the two up here trips us up today. Things don't always go the way we think they ought to go. And let me just say, and humbly as I can try to say this, because I'm a man of contingencies. I love to figure out all the possibilities of anything. Anybody knows me knows that. And I've proven to myself with gray hair and all the years, I can't figure out everything. It just, I have to admit it, I can't. But I love to try. And all it does, when I say that I have got it figured out, that this is the way it's got to happen, is I'm telling God, I think I'm as smart as He is. And I'm not. None of us are. And when it begins to happen in your life in a way that you don't understand, when it begins to happen in your life a way that shakes you to your core, when it begins to happen in your life that you say, why me? Why God? What am I done? And some of us know why. Some of us don't. Solomon says there's such a thing as time and chance. It just fell in our lap. It may be that somebody else did something that has impacted our lives. We had no control over whatsoever. But it's not supposed to happen this way. And the next thing you know, we begin to say, I had hope. And I kind of let it go. My belief is suffering. You know what? That's exactly what Satan wants. Because remember what we've already read? These things are written that you may believe, and believing you may have life in His name. If Satan can get anyone to not believe, if Satan can get anyone who has believed to quit believing, that is his effort, that is his work, that is his destiny, that is what he's after. Because then he can use ourselves against ourselves to serve God. And that's exactly what these men tell Jesus. Stranger, I don't know how you don't know this, but we had hoped he was the one. He proved himself to be this, and it didn't happen. That he was the one, verse 21, to redeem Israel. Not only this, but it is now the third day since these things have happened. If you're a child of God, that ought to ring bells in your head, because he said, on the third day, I'm going to raise from the dead. They didn't really believe it. They didn't comprehend it. But that's what he said he was going to do, and he did it. And here he is appearing to these, and they said, hey, you know, buddy, it's been the third day. It's been 3 days ago. It ain't going to happen no more. It's over. And furthermore, verse 22, some of the women of our group amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. This morning, first day of the week. They went early this morning. And when they did not find the body, they came back and they said they had seen a vision of the angels who had said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and they found just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus begins to speak. The passage J.R. reminded us about in the meeting. Verse 25. So he said to them, you foolish people, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Jesus says to these two men on the road to Emmaus, it was already all written. It was all already there. And have you not been so slow in your heart to believe what God had revealed, you would have known these things are happening this way. And not only that, in the 3 years that the Lord was with his disciples and preaching and teaching to the world, he showed that these things were fulfilled by him. His proof that he was the Son of God, fulfilling, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. I have another question. Are you slow in heart to believe? It's easy when we're in here. It's easy when we're surrounded by everybody we know. It's easy when we got all the other believers with us. I'm asking you to search your heart like God searches your heart. Do you believe it? These things are written that you may believe. Many things are not written because it didn't take more than what was written to get you to believe. There is enough evidence here in Scripture for you to believe. Just as Jesus told those two men on the road to Emmaus, there was enough evidence in the Psalms and the prophets to show you that this was what happened, but your hearts were so slow to believe it. And then Jesus does something I would have loved to have been in on. He says, wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Didn't it have to happen this way, the Lord said to them? Yes, it did. You could not have salvation without it. It had to happen this way. It was foretold to happen this way. And if we'd only believed, if we'd only not been so slow in our hearts to believe what God says, if we'd only been not so slow in our hearts because the things weren't going the way we thought they ought to go. And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, interpreted, he explained to them the things written about himself in the scriptures. Jesus gave him a lesson. Let me just go back and start with Moses, and I'll show you what you should have already known that had been revealed to you. We come on down to the passage that always stayed in my mind from the very first time I found it. And let me ask you this. Read this passage with me. When they go, they sit at the table, they invite him in, and sits down to eat with them, and they start to eat together, and he takes the bread, and he breaks it, and he gives thanks to them, and their eyes were open, they recognize him in verse 31, and he vanishes before their sight. Right there, while they're sitting to eat. As he blesses the bread and stuff, and he says, oh, we know who this is. And he disappears right before them. Look at the very next thing they say. He vanishes before the sight, verse 32, and they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us on the road and while he was explaining the scripture to us? I got another question. How long has it been since your heart burned within you of the things that are said and revealed in scripture? If there's no burning in your heart when you're reading these things, if there's no, and it's not the, hey, I'm perfect, I'm good, I'm good. It's just the opposite. It's to blow me over as far as we've been singing tonight. How is it that the love of God could be so great when I and you are so unworthy? How, I can't comprehend it. I tell you, I can't. The older I get, the harder it is to understand. How could God so love the world? But he did. He did. And he revealed it so that we can know, we can believe, we can read, we can see, we got evidence. It's faith, but it's faith based on evidence. If your heart doesn't burn within you anymore, you need to start reading again. Test me on this. Test me. Test me and see if this is true. Come tell me if it ain't true. Start reading again. I don't care where you start. Start reading. Consistently. Start reading. Watch the amazing thing that happens when you start reading and examining God's Word. If I don't understand it, you might not understand it. Just keep on going. And watch and see if you don't find yourself burning inside of you thinking, how is it, God, that you could do these things? How is it that you could reveal these things? And we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. They got up that very hour, I think it's 7 miles back to Jerusalem, and they headed back that night to Jerusalem because we got to tell everybody what happened. This is what happens to us when we start reading and studying the scriptures and start meditating upon God's word. Landy, you're going to probably preach to us someday about evangelizing, reaching out. You know what happens? We read, we study, we meditate for ourselves on what God has revealed to us. The next thing you know, God's Word does what the Spirit gave it the direction to do. And our hearts burn within us because we know it's true. We believe it's true. And then we begin to act ourselves on what we know to be true. And the next thing you know, what happens to us? Happened to you. We can't wait to tell somebody else about it. We can't wait to tell somebody else about it. My question to all of us tonight is, where are you? Where are you? Have you ever rendered obedience to the gospel? Have you ever come to God accepting the sacrifice of His Son Jesus to have the blood of Christ applied so that you could have the forgiveness and remission of your sins? Have you read enough scripture? Have you heard enough lessons to know and to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that God did raise him from the dead on the third day, just as we're reading about here? Many other internal evidences and things to show us that. Do you read it and believe it and seen it and heard it enough to say, I can confess that before others, not only just one time in here, but wherever I am. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I believe that God did these things. I believe the scriptures reveal these things so that I can say that He did it. And then be willing to be baptized. Submit to being baptized. The death, burial, and resurrection. And put on Christ. Or maybe you've done those things. And it started out strong and your heart was burning, but things haven't quite gone the way you think they ought to have gone. And Satan has his toehold on your faith. Please be honest. He's not asking for perfection. He's just asking for us to come before Him with an open heart. We need Him. We need His blood. We need forgiveness. We need His direction. We need the encouragement of each other. Jerry talked about this morning. Do you believe? I can't help but think of another scripture. It's in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and it's quoting a scripture from the Old Testament. It says, God will not leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I tell you what, and I'll leave it to you at this, and this is to me and all of us together. You know, if we really, really believe that, every one of us would live different. If we really believed it. If we really, really believed it. We would do things so differently in our lives. There's a lot of distraction in this life. A lot of things to keep us from serving God. A lot of things to keep us from telling others about God so that God is praised. But yet He's patient and offers invitation even through His word tonight for all of us. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, won't you let tonight be the night that you turn that around in your life while we stand and sing the song of invitation.